Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show that's brought to you with Levi Solicitors. 10% discount on your legal fees. levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan, Michael, Moscow with you on the weekly show number 258. Quick heads up that you can get a 1 month trial on TSB Plus, our all-in subscription package that's available on the website right now. Have a look at thesquareball.net/plus. It means you can get these podcasts ad-free, priority access to the match ball after the games, daily email from Moscow as well with all the essential Leeds United news, discounts on merch, all sorts of stuff in there. Have a look at that. Squareball.net/plus. Right into it then. Part one is where we have a look at the latest Leeds United news. We're in January now, so the window is open. It's exciting. Any news, Phil, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Phil has brought us news today, among other people. We are signing, we are finalising as we speak. He's at Thorpe Arch running around the track probably. Mateo Josef Fernandez from Espanyol.
Is he a highly rated central midfielder who's played 200 games?
He's a highly rated 18-year-old forward who will go into the academy, Michael. And that's all you're getting for now. Mind you, Angus told us in the programme notes, you know, we need to meet Bielsa's high exacting standards if we're going to sign anybody in this window, but the backing is always there. Should he have said that, by the way? Was it worth it? Easy to say nothing? What do you think?
You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you said nothing and people said, why didn't you say anything? If you said, we're spending loads of money, people said, why are you alerting other clubs to how much shopping I'm going to do? And then when he said, you know, it will be difficult, which he basically said exactly as Marcelo Bielsa has been saying all season, then he just gets, well, why aren't we signing anybody? So maybe just, I mean, when he skipped having programme notes the other week, that was good. So maybe just if it's that much of a problem, just don't say anything at all. But, you know, it's just space filler, isn't it? Not anybody reads the programme when there's the square ball for sale outside the ground at the same time for a mere £2.50.
One of your big bugbears, if you are a TSB Plus subscriber, you get the daily email, it's called Propaganda, is you don't like Port Vale because they wrongfully stole Leeds City's place in the football pyramid some time ago.
Yeah, no Leeds United fan should. No Leeds person should. Neil Aspin is maybe allowed. There have been a few exceptions over the years where you...
Defectors from like North Korea to South Korea kind of vibes.
Well, yeah, people go over the border and maybe try to spread the good message. They try to...
Michael Brown.
Something, he is not one of
Danny
them.
Pugh.
That just further cemented their descent down the staircase into hell. But yeah, 1919, Leeds City, almost unquestionably innocent of everything that they were accused of. But regardless of that, one of the main reasons why Leeds City got thrown out of the league was not the repercussions of what they certainly did not do or did, but that Port Vale were lobbying all the other members of the Football League going, if you get them out,
this is the same,
you get us in.
To draw like a modern parallel, it's like someone being stood at the front of a full nightclub, the queue outside, encouraging the bouncers to throw somebody out.
Yeah, basically. And it was all, you know, there's a big financial promises because they used to share ticket revenue, and the way
the transfer section of the podcast.
Yeah. The way that ticket revenue would be shared meant that you would lose money playing against certain teams because they had smaller crowds than you. So Port Vale had that leverage of going around saying, oh, we've got a massive stadium, it's going to be the Wembley of the North.
They always claim that they're not in the North, are they?
The Wembley of the North. And they're not even in the North. No. Wembley of some fucking ceramics factory. and that was a big factor in why Leeds City were then thrown out. And then who did we play as soon as we're back in the Football League ourselves as a new club that we had to form? Leeds United, Port Vale, and I feel like the rivalry has been left has been not been sustained over the years the way it should. And I don't think this is necessarily helpful because I quite like Ryan Edmondson and he's gone there.
This is one hell of a long run up just to say that Ryan Edmondson's gone on loan to Port Vale.
A striker who will never play for Leeds again.
Well, you never know unless he might have a hot streak. They're going for promotion from League Two. They're sixth and he'd better not help them. But I don't know whether he will get much help himself because he's not on the staff list at the moment. But from what my spies in the Potteries tell me, Billy Painter is a coach.
If there's one man,
I've just seen who their manager. Just seen who their manager is.
Mm-hmm. Darnell Clark from it's Darryl Clark, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm thinking of August Darnell from Kid Creole and the Coconuts.
And you would be an obscure funk band.
Yeah, it's not them. It's Darryl Clark who was at one point Chilino's preferred man, wasn't it?
Yeah, the best decision he made was at the time you look back and think the best decision he could have made is turning Leeds United down, but then to go and accept Port Vale. Just suggests that he's part of this century-long conspiracy of hate.
Which is exactly what it is.
First team coach, of course, is Huddersfield legend Dean Whitehead, that just further compounds the anti-Leeds sentiment at that club. And I just hope... Ryan at Fleetwood scored two goals in 17 games, both in the Papa John's. So it's not been a great period for him there. But I can't wish him well at Port Vale. I hope it's not a goal fest. I hope he just cuts the loan short. Maybe being there a week will be enough for him to realise it's all been a big mistake and we'll take him back and send him somewhere else.
Port Vale's website, to their credit, does list the laundry manager on the staff, which is quite nice.
And yet not Billy Painter, whose Wikipedia page does still say he works there, but I can't find out what he
Levels
does.
Levels of shame to this game. What do you think about Sam Greenwood maybe going out on loan then in terms of another young forward, possibly going to Swansea or Forest? They're both rumoured to be in for him. Are we seeing like a change in Bielsa's policy potentially here of sending young players out to go get some air miles?
No, I think we're seeing a rehash of last year's rumours because he was linked to Swansea last year.
Right.
I think it's just same.
Well, the Swansea's manager, the terrifying bloke, Cooper, he's gone to Forest, hasn't he? So that's probably, it's rehashing the link for him and Swansea, I think is probably what's come about. I mean, I think there is some genuine interest there. It does seem to have been talked about. And Cooper is one of those managers who does like getting young players. I mean, he got Brewster on loan from Liverpool and then they hilariously sold him for £24 million or whatever to Sheffield United. So maybe we should do that. Just sell Green for £24 million in summer.
I might be fine with that if I wanted to sell him for £24 million.
Cody Drama has been linked to a loan to Forest as well, but it's not just a big change in policy towards the young players, but it's a change towards the first team squad as well, because you can't really say that our squad is deep enough that we might not need Sam Greenwood. And I know clubs are now frantically cancelling loans all over the shop because of the COVID thing and trying to get games played and stuff. But I don't think that's ever really a recall clause. It's not the ideal scenario for anybody. And Bielsa always says it's about if he thinks a player is good enough to be contributing to our first team, then they stay. If he doesn't, then they can go out on loan. And I think Greenwood is still close enough to our first team that he would not want to let him go. I mean, there's a small squad and then there's letting the players you actually need go out on loan for no reason, isn't there?
But there's also the question of if we look to bring somebody in the other side, you know, in the indoor, and then he can maybe have a loan. And because you do get that sense that there is that kind of that no man's land before they defect from North Korea to South Korea, where they need to go get some air miles, don't they? Some football under the belts. Otherwise, they kind of just hover, playing murder ball and sitting on the bench at Leeds and not really doing much.
But it's a question of whether murder ball is a better option than being coached by Billy Painter at Port Vale and the training you get. And I was just looking at Phil Foden, never got loaned anywhere.
You make it sound like Ryan Edmondson might have begged to stay and they've gone, no.
Well, no, that's
Port Vale for you.
Well, Ryan Edmondson is obviously out of the picture and, you know, we don't think he's going to be breaking into the team under Bielsa. Maybe when we're relegated at the end of the season and Heckingbottom comes back and then he'll have a chance then. But he's out of the picture. But because Sam Greenwood is seen as a viable option by Bielsa and he's somebody who he thinks can be good enough for our first team, his point of view, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad one, is that he benefits more from being trained and playing murder ball and playing in our under-23s than he does playing League One for Darryl Clark and Billy Painter. And the experience side of it, I think, is accurate. You wonder when these players are going to get the league experience, and you're kind of seeing the downside of that maybe with the state of Tyler Roberts now, where that one of the thoughts I had about him missing that header was, when have we ever seen him go for a header like that? Like, when was the last
Hull.
Time he actually...
Hull.
Well, that was a very different one. That was the Van Persie dive, wasn't it? But when was the last time he actually was in that situation in a match? Whereas if he played, instead of having his leg infected for 2 years, he'd been either playing an hour under 23s or on loan for getting, you know, 60, 70 games under his belt for a couple of seasons, he might have had more muscle memory and that ball just goes flying in. But then, yes, I just looked up Phil Foden, who I think he's quite good, and how he's been managed at Manchester City was always a big question as well, of like, why isn't he getting any games? Why isn't he going out on loan? Why isn't Pep using this outrageous talent? And so over the seasons, 0, 5, 13, 23, 28, 13 appearances to the age of 21. So building him up.
Are you
gradually.
Saying Greenwood is going to be as good as Phil Foden? That sounds like it to me.
I'm a fan,
no,
if so.
But I am saying that it is possible to get a player ready for the Premier League without loaning them to some post-industrial northwest nuclear wasteland, as we've done with a lot of the kids who we don't think are going
talking
to
about Barrow there,
make
by the
it. Well, they've all gone there, haven't they?
Yeah, it's
Barrow,
true.
Fleetwood, Morecambe. It's been, I don't know if trying to keep them all together.
On the injuries from, by the way,
support.
On Roberts, do we know what's wrong with him yet? Was it his calf that he pulled?
It looked that way, yeah. But
I guess we'll find out from Bielsa's presser this week.
That's true.
But it looked...
Another
it looked,
detailed injury report.
Yeah, another strange injury, no doubt. I've never seen anything like it.
It does feel like, hopefully, that we're over the worst of the injuries now, because what we've got, Strauch and Rodrigo just need a bit of a rest
damn.
For their...
Just shut your filthy mouth. Why even...
And it feels like it. Doesn't mean we are. I'm not jinxing it.
It felt like that when Bamford came back, scored, and then immediately injured himself again celebrating, and just...
Which we might look back on and laugh don't. At one day, but not right now.
I mean, it was funny at the
he's,
time.
Well, he's nearly back. Bamford said to be close. He could have been available for Burnley, but obviously they've chosen not to risk him. And with Joffy ripping things up and looking really, really exciting, then there's another option there, isn't there? But I was going to say, Strauch and Rodrigo, they just need rest, the pair of them, by the sounds of it, don't they? And they might get it.
Well, enough rest.
Because they've got...
I've been playing. What have they been doing?
The cup game this week, which we'll come on to. Shaq's, is he February?
I've hinted at it. Yeah. I mean... If Ayling's fit, it doesn't matter all that much, does it, for Shackleton? He's going to be a bench option.
Matters for Shackleton, but not for us.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's another one who needs some actual games.
Yeah, Calvin and Cooper are both confirmed as fairly long-term into March
before a full return.
Why did nobody ask beginning of March or end of March?
Quite a difference.
Yeah, but even on the press conference when, because Bielsa did his little roundup of injuries at the start, didn't mention this, and then later on, he threw it in without being asked. He was like, oh, of course, they'll be out until March. And Phil Hay, our very good friend, did then say, can I just confirm, is March a worst-case scenario? Is that when you expect them back? And Bielsa said, that's when we expect them back. But he didn't ask. First or third. It's a long month as well. It's not when he looked 28 days.
And is that back from starting training, or is that back in the first team fold?
And that detail was
do
there
your
to
job,
be had.
Phil Hay.
Well, he was
sick
saying,
of it.
Bielsa was saying,
having to work with these bloody amateurs.
I think he said about Shackleton that it would be end of February. So he's offering those little further bits of information because it's a big difference. I was quite relaxed about them not being back until when we had the first details, when they first went out, and it was a matter of weeks, and you could count them back and say, right, they're going to be back first week of February around the Aston Villa game, so that's when we can expect them back, and that's okay because January is only West Ham and Newcastle once Burnley were out of the way. Now I don't know what's happening. I've just got no clue. I don't even know if we got any games in February.
We don't need anybody anyway, do we? Because everyone beneath us is rubbish, so we're fine with staying up, as we proved on Sunday by beating Burnley.
We don't need any new midfielders because the midfield, I'm just doing my Thomas Christian thing again, midfield, you like? Everybody says we need a midfield. There's a midfield.
Seriously, though, do you feel like a lot more relaxed about how bad the Premier League is, like having beaten Burnley? Because look, yeah. Have you seen all the results like that have happened underneath us? There's that stat that somebody pulled that was, which I might have mentioned on the Match Ball or maybe even off air, I don't know. But of all the 20 games or 20 odd games that have been played by teams beneath us, not a single one has won a game apart from when Newcastle beat Burnley. So it was a match between two of the sides that were down there. Isn't it?
The little break we've had with COVID has been nice because we've got to have a rest, and then when other people have played, they've lost. So it's the table's just looked absolutely fine as a result of it, and it's meant we've got players back. But yeah, it is. It's kind of reassuring that there's not an awful lot of life down there.
As we were discussing on propaganda, actually, we were making a joke, Moscow, about like Brighton needing the regulation 9 wins per season. It's about all you need, isn't it? And it's not a great deal. You just got to win roughly a quarter of your games and you're fine to stay up.
There's not even a lot of life anywhere. And I think with it being a squat division with only 20 teams in it, that means it's quite, you don't get that buffer that you'd get in the Championship. I mean, you're talking about Everton getting dragged into the potentially the relegation battle when really they're mid-table, but mid-table doesn't really exist. Stephen York, who writes for us, tweeted this morning to point out that Leeds are the same distance to Scum as Scum are to Chelsea, and that Norwich are closer to Scum than Scum are to Manchester City. And I can't really sort of visualise the maths behind all that and exactly what it means, but the feeling I've had about the Premier League this season, and Bielsa kind of mentioned it when he said that everybody's running less, I don't think it's a very good year.
I mean, it's a very good year for Man City.
They started a little bit dicey, but then sorted it out. But there's not really a...
It's true, you know, you're right. Because like Chelsea having a little wobble, Liverpool have had a little wobble. Apart from Man City, who are just running away with it, everyone's sort of indifferent, taking points off one another. Spurs are on a bit of an upward curve at the minute. West Ham are generally all right. But beyond that, everyone's fairly just crap or inconsistent, aren't they?
Yeah, it's not like, it doesn't feel like a classic league at this state. It's not like one that you'll look back on and go, oh, that was a really good season if Barclays is what you're supposed to call it, isn't it?
No, that's annoying. sorry to be a grumpy old fart.
Carling all right?
Whatever.
But yeah, so there's that. Maybe it all is, you know, I'm sure it will be much better next season after a short summer when we cram a World Cup into the middle of it.
Well, the World Cup's next December, isn't it?
That's what I mean.
Not the summer here. Yeah.
So, but the short summer is being shortened already to accommodate. Gotcha. So we're starting early and then knocking off, and then they just go and play that.
But it's funny thinking, like, you know, I think everyone feels like we'll be in a much better position, assuming we survive this season, to get into next year, where you can sort of count on that comfortably getting your 10 to 12 wins. That's going to make everything a little bit more relaxed going through the full season. Because I'm looking at like the Championship, the top end of the Championship table, and there's not a right lot doing that. I mean, like, you know, the teams that are looking to come back up, if Bournemouth come back up, are they going to come up and then suddenly rip it up? If Blackburn do make it up, do you expect them to do anything
but
struggle? Then you've got,
sorry, Tony,
beneath that, you've got Fulham, West Brom, QPR, Huddersfield. You can't imagine any of them making massive inroads, can you?
No, so as long as there's always three teams at the bottom that are going down. And
that will always be the case, I think.
And you can look at some of the potential escapees this season. Like, you don't see Watford, if they manage to stay up, you don't think next season they're suddenly going to be a threat to the top six. Everton are just going to keep bothering the relegation place. So I think as long as there's always like a bottom three and Everton.
Yeah. Brentford will inevitably drop out at some point as well.
Yeah, so there's enough down there, and that's why staying up this season is just does change
and what we know now as well is that we dismissed second season syndrome because we did quite well last season. We went, "Pah, that's not a thing." I think we'd all fairly much admit that it can be a thing, that you get, you know, it's felt a little bit more joyless, I think, this season. It's not been as much fun because we haven't won as many. The realities, the practicalities of being in the Premier League sort of bed in a little bit. And that's what's going to happen to Brentford next year. And we all know it now.
Although the one
and they're not aware of it. They're still enjoying it. They're in the honeymoon period.
One thing that did occur to me, the way the goals were celebrated on Sunday and the way every goal has been celebrated this season, it does seem to matter a lot this year. And those goals, I'm really enjoying every goal.
Mm.
There's not one way, the fourth in a 4-0, which you think would be nice. And it's not, I don't know what's causing it necessarily, because we haven't got that real backs against the wall relegation battle. We haven't got we're not going for a title or a cup. It's really just a strain to get into mid-table, and it seems to be born of...
It's relegation, surely.
Well,
I think we've been in a relegation battle and still are.
But not in a bottom of the table, trying to scramble our way up. Every half a point we can get on the board matters. And I think it's more from a... It's being generated quite positively, where it's, you can see why the team is struggling, the injuries, you can see why everything's going against them, you can see that good players like Stuart Dallas Luke Ayling, Matches Click, apart from the pests on Twitter, are having a hard time for whatever reason. And everybody loves Bielsa. So they're being supported. And that's expressing itself in goals where you're like, when Stuart Dallas scores on his 250th appearance, everybody's really happy that it's happening.
Not just that, I thought there was a real outpouring for the first one against Burnley on Sunday.
Yeah, so that's what I mean.
Proper, like everyone kind
every
of,
single
everyone
goal.
Knew we needed to win that on Sunday, and I think the release for that, even for that one.
But there's not been a game unlike that. I think every goal that I've experienced, I mean, even the Bamford against Brentford that I was sitting watching in my COVID haze, looked like a lot of fun, and Pat Bamford enjoyed it until he didn't. So I still think it's hilarious. It's one of the, I mean, that's the kind of the Leedsiest, hilarious nonsense that only happens to us and seems to be happening a lot this season, but still kind of funny.
Did you note over the weekend that you're now able to stand up football again?
That's amazing, isn't it? I've sat down for all these years.
Yeah.
Every game in the Cop, every away game I've ever been to, always sat down.
Because Chelsea v Liverpool, they introduced proper, acceptable, allowed safe standing, didn't they?
They did. I mean, it's been coming for a while, hasn't it? And it's, I think we're all in favour.
I mean, given that as you were just making the joke then, everyone stands up anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
not all throughout the ground. You want to have the option of seats, obviously, but I'm saying, but like, you know, by and large, everyone stands up, like behind the goal, south stand, southeast corner, whatever. The singing sections.
If you stand at the back of the west stand, you can't see. the gantry actually blocks your view.
The gantry gong. Of course,
that quickly.
I'll just move it close to the mic so we can hear it.
There we go.
I was going to say, people are standing anyway, so it just makes sense logically to make it a thing you can do without breaking the law.
is the reason you want it so you can find it easier to throw missiles, engage in hate chanting, racism, sneak alcohol in and take cocaine? Is that why you support it?
To be honest, the seat that I sit in, it's the only thing that's preventing me freebasing heroin.
This was Dan James running away with his stiff left arm celebration, wasn't it?
I mean, I'm normally, just racking up lines on the seat in front. I can't do that. It's going to disturb the person in front of me, so I better not do that today. So it's the only thing stopping me,
Because I've got a nice...
Inject safe standing straight into my veins.
Because I've got a nice bald head, I just let people snort coke off the top of that.
Yeah.
It's just nice. It's a little benefit for the people who stand behind me.
This needs context of the Cheshire Police Chief Constable Mark Roberts, who doesn't seem to be in favour of safe standing, and he's expressing this by making it sound really appealing to probably quite a large section of English football supporters, where he said, if crowds are stood up, it's easier to throw missiles, engage in hate chanting, racism, to sneak alcohol in and take cocaine. A lot of people, unfortunately, look at that and go, but yes, if that's all going to be easier, because quite difficult.
When I engage in my hate chant in Moscow...
Is it difficult when you're sitting down?
Yeah, my voice doesn't work as well.
But it probably is easy to throw things when you're stood up.
Yeah,
but people stand up to throw things anyway. Always get picked out on the CCTV.
Do you tend to stand up for your hate chanting and racism, or do you stay seated for
that? It's why I have to stay sitting down, so I don't do it.
I guess in the West Stand.
The only thing stopping me.
In the West Stand, it's all seated, isn't it?
But it is true, though, if you are trying to sneak alcohol in, you could tuck like a hip flask or something into your sock, and you could run a straw all the way up your inside leg, through your groin, up, you know, you're inside of your clothes and get a little straw by your mouth like that and just suck on your drink.
How is it easier to sneak alcohol in? When you get in, you're standing up.
But if you sit down, it's going to put a kink in the line, isn't it? And it's not going to be able to come through
as much. But he's not talking about it's easier to drink in the stand. He's talking about it's easier to sneak the alcohol in, as if all the, you know, the security staff and sniffer dogs will just be irrelevant now, because once you pass them, you can stand.
Well, I sneak my booze and drugs in, but I go through the turnstile in a seated position. That's how I managed to get it in.
This is it. No, that's
a big secret.
Will standing on an open terrace make people more likely to take cocaine than, at the moment you have to go into a toilet to do it, or do it in a concourse, or
You've got a barrier in front of you, haven't you?
Sitting down would be easier, though, wouldn't it? Because you duck down behind somebody.
I've heard that they're installing square barriers, so you've got a nice flat surface to rack your line upon if you wanted. That's what they're doing.
Snorting it off the rail seats. Is that the idea? Which is a question. Where are our rail seats? Because Angus told us they were going to be from the back of the Cop moving forward from the start of the season. And now Chelsea, everybody's...
Maybe it's just been...
Chelsea, everybody's standing up, hate chanting, drinking and taking drugs. and we're all sitting down. So maybe. Where are our drug
just,
chairs?
Maybe just delayed. They didn't put the drug chairs in because they were delayed because of COVID or whatever, because it's like the West Stand restrictions, for example. You know, the red zone meant that we didn't get the new dugouts yet and stuff because everything's been delayed by bloody COVID.
Well, I mean, the dugouts that are there is an absolute golden surface for snorting drugs off, isn't it? So that needs fixing. And nobody tell Cheshire Police Chief Constable Mark about that. He'll be livid if he sees.
And this line as well, I mean, I know we're being really glib about this, but and also,
well, he's being an idiot.
He's saying it, and also in many of the modern stadiums, the bowls, you can actually migrate all the way around the stadium. So the concern is that they get overloaded and you can get crushing issues. That's not true. So, all right then, Chief Constable Mark Roberts, why don't you put some fences in between and see what happens again there, idiot?
I mean, I've not been to.
But there are barriers between sections, for Christ's sake. Yeah. You can't get from one part of the stadium to another.
Is he talking about concourses, though? Because I've not been to Spurs.
Well, he must be specific.
Like, can you walk around them all?
He must be specifically talking about above ground, because he's talking about safe standing versus seated. So that's just not, it's just not true, is it?
And it wouldn't change. Just, you can have crowding in a seated area if, you know, 10,000 people who shouldn't be in one section all decide to go to that section, whether it's rail seats or seats, isn't going to make a right lot of difference. You've just got a load of people in the wrong place. So it's not the furniture. There's a table over there. Let's all go and look at it.
I know Bayern Munich are our bete noire, but when I went there the other 2 years ago now, just pre-COVID, and we went to a game there, and it is actually genuinely like that. In the concourse, you can walk around the entire stadium underneath, and you could go in anywhere. But people didn't, because people are sensible. They want to go where their allocated seat is there or thereabouts.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this goes back to Hillsborough, doesn't it? And the crowd control problems at Hillsborough were down to the police, and the fact that even having opened gates and had the opportunity to divert people into side pens, the way Hillsborough was set out and the way they dealt with the crowd pushed everyone into
the central
middle.
Yeah.
And that is what went wrong. At a logically organised stadium, people will act in a more logical way, and you won't get that, because people will see that you arrive at lots of turnstiles, you go in, there are signs, there are lots of different entrances into
a ground.
And it's
almost like we had the Taylor Report, 30 years ago, that pointed all this out, and stadiums have changed since then. A lot can happen in 30 years.
Hillsborough still hasn't, actually, in truth. When you go in there, it's kind of a bit eerie because you know what it's like, but you can actually see, even though there are changes, you can kind of see how it would have happened weirdly because of the way that is arranged. But yeah, if it's done in a proper way, I don't see any reason not to.
And the modern stadiums, they may well have this ability to migrate from section to section, but they also have the kind of space and scale that Hillsborough never had. So the chances of crushing developing, and I assume because he's talking about rail seating and safe standing that he must be talking about on the terraces, but there's surely Spurs... You just go on the pitch now. It's not something that's going to happen again in the same way that he seems to be implying. And also, you're right to highlight the role of the police, because all of the things he's talking about here are within his control as Cheshire Police Chief Constable Mark Roberts. So if they happen at Chester, Macclesfield, Wrexham, so I don't even know why we're listening to this. Stockport is probably the biggest stadium this guy has ever seen. Port Vale would be a dream to him.
There's actually
all of these things is like police powers will not be removed because rail seating goes in if there are crushes occurring or just a drug farm developing. Then you can go and do something about it as the police. And, oh no, they've got rail seating over there. It's like kryptonite. We can't do a thing since they put that there. It's a force field. Ooh.
I was going to say, actually, you mentioned Chester there as part of his jurisdiction. And we were talking about this in the car, weren't we, the other day when I was giving you a lift home, Moscow, that I can't remember how we got onto Chester City, but the club offices are at the back of the main stand, which is in England. But the rest of the stadium, like basically the front of the stand and then the rest of the stadium, the other three stands are in Wales.
Well, that's ideal because you'll need passports to get from one bit of the ground to the other. So that'd be perfect for him.
Yeah, so... I mean,
the thing about overcrowding areas as well, like Leeds away, some people do go in the seats, but there's generally a bit of a free-for-all atmosphere with where you sit. Because of what he was saying, people want to sit with their mates, and because of the ticket application process and stuff, people end up like spread all over the place. So actually, you generally get in, you're like, oh, we're like at the back right corner or whatever, and people congregate. But it's fine. People just find space, and then you go where there's space.
Well, is it because there is enough space? Because... problem with Hillsborough was with the fences and the cages.
Crowds are self-regulating until you put fences in to stop them being self-regulating.
Like Dortmund as well. That again, a massive big open terrace. That's not even rail seats. That's actual proper terrace. Again, it's fine because people go, I could go where it's really busy or when I can't see, or I could go and find a little bit of space somewhere.
Do you think he just doesn't want to bother doing his job?
You do get the sense with the police, not with the police a lot recently, don't you? It's like, oh, God. Is this us again having to do this? Christ, what a pain in the arse.
January, innit? Transfer window open.
Are we buying anyone?
Remains to be seen. You know what's more important than that, don't you?
Not selling anyone?
No, I was thinking about the housing market kicking into gear as it always does at this time of year.
I was also, that was next on the list.
Thank you, Michael. I'm glad we're on the same wavelength. Levi Solicitors bring you the Square Ball podcast. You can get a 10% discount on your legal fees, levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. And I mention that because they do conveyancing. And when you do conveyancing and get a house, get yourself a bloody will as well, because it's dead important. Because you don't want people you don't want to have your house having it, do you? If the worst should happen. No, seriously, look up Levi's. We really appreciate their support. So if you're looking for a solicitors company in Leeds fans, levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Part two of the show is the West Ham preview. We've got the FA Cup third round game on Sunday. Are we on the telly? We're on the telly, aren't we?
Probably, yeah. It's exciting, isn't it, the FA Cup?
Is it terrestrial telly?
Could be. We should have probably checked this before we started recording, but here we are. We'll have a look now. Do it on the hoof. But anyway, yes.
Everybody could see our shame.
I mean, this won't be, for a change, this would be a fairly routine defeat, wouldn't it? I feel like we normally like to be a bit special when we're getting knocked out of the FA Cup. But this would be
predictable and acceptable, I think, wouldn't it?
This would be fine, wouldn't it?
I'd rather ITV won.
ITV won.
Oh, very wow. Good.
I mean, you know what ITV is. We learned this at Histon.
On Channel 3.
Are you being nice to your ex-employers there, Michael?
Nah, of course, I forgot there was a conflict there, wasn't there?
I've no reason to be, really. The football coverage regularly was. It was us, and then there was the game where, was it an England game? I think it was a Liverpool Everton FA Cup game with the cuts of Tic Tacs advert during... Like as the goal was scored in extra time.
Was that your doing?
No, I wasn't in charge of that sort of thing.
You weren't trusted with the Tic Tacs account.
It would have been much worse if I'd been in charge of it.
I will sell you a slot during the game. Yeah.
As a cross goes in the box, I promise we'll cut straight to it.
So being on the telly, the nation can witness our non-shame on Sunday.
It doesn't really matter, does it?
Well, I mean, we're going to play pretty much our first-ish team here, aren't we?
Are we?
Just about. Well, we've only really got a first team available now, is what I was thinking.
It's going to be either a first team or a very, very young team.
Eddie Gray has fond memories of Westfield at the London Olympics. I was going to put Eddie in and play the kids for this game.
Right. Eddie in and play Archie.
Yeah, give Archie his debut. I don't know if we mentioned it on here, but when Archie was on the bench against Arsenal, he had a heart-stopping moment when we were making a change because one of the coaches had been given the instruction to where the players are warming up. He was pointing and went, "You come here." And I saw Archie Gray go, pointed himself, go, "Me?" And you think you're 15 years old and you're about to make your Premier League debut. And he's like, no, not you, him. But there was just that little moment. I was wondering what that must have been like for Archie Gray to have that moment where he's pointing at you.
I'm not ready.
You're coming on.
I can't do it, mister.
Well, that's the other thing was, I'm born ready, mate. Get me on that pitch. And then told to sit down again. So one of either two ways, but.
What would you do with this?
He could make his debut. Give Archie Gray his debut.
Is that what you do?
Make some cup history. FA Cup's got no romance anymore, so get as many Grays back as we can. Eddie Gray as manager. Frank Gray can be his assistant.
Andy,
probably still fit enough to play.
Nick
and
Gray.
Archie.
It was Nick Gray as well for a time?
Yeah. Was Stuart Gray related? Or was he... He was kind of an ancillary Gray.
Ancillary?
An annex Gray.
What would you do with this then, Michael? Would you go full strength in this? Because they're likely to rest and play. I don't feel like we can afford to play a full strength team. But then on the other hand, I don't really know who else we can play.
I'd be tempted to rest Rafinha. Just cause.
Put Bayern Munich off. I was right about Stuart Gray, by the way, born Harrogate. He is Eddie Gray's son. Played for Celtic 1992 to 1998 and then Green Morton, Oxford. He never really cut through, but Celtic, everybody was like, really good Gray. So there's loads of them. He can go back. He can have a game.
If Gray was to play in this game and throughout our cup run and get to the final, he'd be the youngest player to ever play in an FA Cup final, beating the record of... You'll never guess. No, he'd play in an FA Cup final.
Oh, okay.
Former Leeds...
Jordan Bataka.
A former Leeds legend, Curtis Weston. Played for Millwall in that final where Dennis Wise was in charge. So there
God
you go.
Almighty. Great memories. So this is what I mean. The FA Cup, having been, I mean, that's the second time, maybe the third time that Dennis Wise has had his mucky paw prints on it, being there with Wimbledon and Chelsea, and then Millwall. It needs saving. It needs the greys. You could even do a little like behind the scenes documentary about it, can't you?
In the real world, what do you think? What's going to happen?
I did have a look back at how West Ham generally approach the cup, and they generally go for the approach of resting like a few players, but they're fairly strong. They certainly don't completely take the piss of it like teams do with the League Cup, where they'll make like 11 changes. So I think they'll be fairly strong. I kind of don't mind if we're not, but I don't see many options. So I think I think we've probably got a reasonable chance in this game because they're not in great form anymore. I know they've had a couple of wins, but not against great sides.
And they're fifth at the minute as well, right in the hunt for that Champions League spot. That's the only thing. I'm just looking at the table now. You've got Arsenal on played 20 with 35 points. They had the same games played with 34, so just a point behind. And then you've got Spurs, but they've got two games in hand and 33 points. So it's really tight in there.
They had the classic thing as well of, I don't know who they lost to the other week, but they got booed.
I mean, Southampton, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, I mean, who expected West Ham to be this good this season? Nobody really did. I don't think even West Ham fans did. And it's only season before last when they were nearly relegated and then they got Moyes in. And now, you know, you are pushing for the Champions League spot. Boo! Boo! Rubbish. They can all get in a bin with Brighton. In the 2009 film, The Damned United, Stuart Gray portrayed his father, Eddie Gray.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So what do you feel for the game on Sunday?
You've already asked him that.
No, we're talking about the lineup. What do you feel in terms of an outcome now?
I feel it will probably be a narrow defeat.
And are you fine with that?
Probably, yes. Which makes me a bit sad because I feel like I should care more and want us to win the FA Cup. But I think realistically, we probably won't anyway. And it might result in more injuries. And the problem is with the FA Cup, and all cups, in fact, is that Man City can probably rest like half a dozen players, as can Chelsea, Liverpool, Man United, and they'll still have really strong teams out, and eventually you'll have to play one of them. I know Man United shit now, but they've got a really good squad, and they can kind of get through to the quarterfinals quite effortlessly, and then they can start playing their good team, and they'll just twat you in a quarterfinal.
What would you do with the League Cup? Would you get rid of it?
Nah, just keep playing it, keep letting Man City win it. I know that they're out of it this year, actually, aren't they? But
they'll win it next year.
Yeah, exactly.
What would you do with it? Would you keep it? Because if you got rid of that, it'd add a bit more gloss back to the FA Cup, even just a tiny bit, you think?
I mean, the thing is, it only started in the 60s, didn't it? It's not like it's a real heritage. I mean, the 60s feel like yesterday.
I think getting rid of it ends up being the thin end of the wedge, though, because you're appealing to, like, Champions League clubs is what you're doing by getting rid of it, because they're the people who don't really want it, more so than...
But then they always win it.
I know. They don't even care, though. But just make the European Cup straight knockout. Make the Champions League small and make them play the League Cup and take it seriously.
There are arguments for modernising this stuff because, you know, the way the world has changed, does it make sense to have a football League Cup when the Premier League exists, but then always say you can never have any kind of European League competition when, you know, that probably makes as much sense as playing somebody from the Football League, the Premier League playing against a team from the Bundesliga, like, do something like that. Should we have a pan-European?
The Intertoto Cup.
Though I guess we're not in
the Anglo-Italian
anymore.
Cup, sorry, but the Anglo-Italian.
Even, you know, the faff that the League Cup causes and that nobody really, you know, gives it any respect anymore is kind of, do you just keep it limping along for old time's sake when it's not even that old? You know, if you're talking about football traditions.
I'd be sad to see it go because, you know, we've won it and all that and I'd like to see us win it again, but you just wonder if the chances of that actually happening are. I mean, they're probably better than I estimate, but I look at it and I think, well, yeah, it'll probably be Man City, Arsenal, Chelsea. One of those four or five clubs will win it just about every year now forever. So is there any point with it? Given that this what's at stake with the Premier League, I guess, is the root of it.
And that's a bad reason for doing it, I think.
It is a bad reason, but it's still a reason.
I just wondered. Like to mollify Jurgen Klopp is not what I would ever do anything particularly, but... It's sort of how, just because things are old doesn't mean there should be traditions. That's the thing. You've got to give them a certain due reverence for having stuck around so long. But, you know, you get a lot of old buildings that people want to keep around just because they're old. And then you actually say, well, if you looked at it, it's fucking rotten. And it was never any good in the first place. It's just a, You know, it was knocked up old warehouses. There's not a real substantial difference between an old warehouse and a new warehouse. They were built for the same purpose. It's just the new ones have metal roofs, whereas the old ones have slate roofs, and people like slate roofs. They don't like metal roofs. So we keep the one with the slate roof and, you know, protect. Oh, no, we can't do anything about that. Whereas it's just a rotten old brick building that was built for tuppence. Just along, just because nobody's cared about it, they just nobody could be bothered knocking it down.
And that's the League Cup, ladies and gentlemen. It's the shit warehouse.
It's got Pep Guardiola in it with just a stack of silverware. It's like, I don't even want this. So, yeah, and other countries do more about, you know, competitions can change. They just don't tend to change in this country. If you think about, if you ever read Jonathan Wilson's History of Argentinian Football, he just doesn't even bother explaining what the tournament for, what the league
it's
format
insane,
is.
It's insane, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you actually read about when Newell's won the league with Bielsa, it's insane. They have two championships a year, and then the two champions are rightly crowned champions, but then play each other off to win the overall championship, don't they?
And relegation being decided on like a rolling 3-year average of points, and all this kind of messing about that I wouldn't endorse or support, but it's still football keeps getting played. Whereas we tend to be very much just like, no, these are the divisions. This is how we play. This is what the competitions are, whether it's any good for us or not. and that's, you could maybe do an assessment and say, well, is this still any good for us?
It's good that we've had a long discussion of the League Cup the League in Cup. An FA Cup preview section.
And the thing is, if you discounted us winning the FA Cup this year, but if there is one tradition and some romance worth supporting, it's the 50th anniversary of us actually winning it, and the 100th anniversary of us being knocked out in the first round proper by Swindon Town 2-1 away.
And we are 50-1 to win it. I just looked at the odds just to give us
50-1 to get to win it in 50 years after. Don't bet on us winning the FA Cup, anybody.
But do you know what? We've probably, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if it's the fates conspiring around this one, in that you could almost imagine us winning this one just to raise our hopes for the league game the week after, when they'll be dashed, because you wouldn't imagine us winning twice there on the bounce, would you?
The other thing about it is, if you remember last season's second half, after we got over losing to who in the FA Cup? Which
Crawley.
Could have been anybody, couldn't it?
Crawley. I said Gatwick. Crawley.
Same Gatwick thing. FC. We were brilliant. And that kind of form, if we go on that run again and applied that not just to our improving league position, but to a cup, we could win the FA Cup from here. I mean, we could qualify from Europe from here, but winning the FA Cup, I'd settle for. And when we get into Europe.
Yeah. The Cup Winners' Cup. And the competition we should bring back.
And then Rafinha's not going to Bayern Munich, is he?
This is true, yeah. We definitely shouldn't discount the cup competitions. And yeah, the reason why I asked about the League Cup is just because, well, you'd obviously keep the FA Cup, and it might make it better if the League Cup wasn't there. And I don't know.
The thing is, if we had 3 more points, I'd be like, oh yeah, we'll try and win the FA Cup. Yeah. We need to play a first team in this, and we'll try and actually do something fun this year. Because we've still got it, because it's only a few days since we were almost in the bottom three, it feels like, I still just want us to concentrate on the league for a bit longer.
And the thing is about those 3 points is that they could easily evaporate a week later against West Ham again anyway. So 3 points is almost nothing. Yeah, if you got rid of the League Cup, I think you'd have to do it with rules that create more respect for the FA Cup. Like, okay, we're going to take that away for you. Really sorry, winning it all the time has set you so much pep. But now you're going to have to play your first team in the FA Cup and do it properly. And that's the trade-off.
Every round of the League Cup used to be two legs, didn't it?
Yeah.
What a complete madness that was.
Yeah. And then when we've been going back on the Match Ball 30 through the 90-91 and then the season after the 91-92 as we are now, it's mental, isn't it?
Two-leg League Cup ties and unlimited FA Cup replays.
And when you talk about these things no longer being fit for purpose, I guess is the short phrase, one of the reasons that two-legged is ticket revenue. And one of the reasons these cup competitions existed is ticket revenue. And that's why when Heysel led to the European ban, they brought in domestic cup competitions to make up for the money that people weren't getting from that. Now TV money is such a big deal. I don't know how much of the Sean Harvey millions he negotiated for the League Cup that, you know, everybody's really reliant on, oh, we can't cope without the TV money from the League Cup coverage. But certainly the ticket revenue is certainly, at the higher levels, it's not relevant. It's the lower league teams would still get a substantial boost from that, but not the boost they would get if the teams that were playing the first teams, because everybody now knows, oh, we've been drawn against Manchester City. Brilliant. They're going to be coming visiting us in, you know, whatever, shit old Port Vale or whatever. but they're going to bring a bunch of teenagers. So you already know it. You don't get the bumper crowd that you might have.
It's like almost like a pre-season friendly, except you've got a cup tie at stake.
Can clubs do without the prize money, though, from the League Cup? Do you know how much money you get for winning it?
20 quid? 25 quid.
£100,000.
Still.
Imagine having £100,000.
We got £100,000 for winning the league 30 years ago, didn't we? £100,000 check was presented on the
And this is it. That pitch. That would make maybe a substantial difference to a lower league club's budget. But Man City win it. So what's the point in giving Man City
someone's wage for like a day, more or less, isn't it?
It pays to keep Benjamin Mendy in prison. Do you want to say that?
That's probably worth spending the money on, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Well, anyway, back to this one. There's something in this game for us, isn't there, though? It's a tough ask because they're doing well in the league, but...
It's London, isn't it? Which is not ideal.
Oh, there is that. And there's no trains. But there is. There's something to be got from this if we... it's always the same thing, isn't it? It's if we get the favourable wins, if we manage to avoid injuries and the events of the game don't conspire against us, we've got a chance.
I like winning games. It'd be nice to win.
So, and no replays here.
So we might as well just go for it, haven't we?
This will go straight to extra time? Or does it go penalty straight to penalties? I don't even know. I don't know how much they've trimmed this down.
Good question. You'd think extra time then penalties, wouldn't you?
Just play first goal winner from the start. That's what I say. Get it over and done with.
It would make it more exciting from the off, wouldn't it?
If all FA Cup ties were won by 1-0 this weekend, it'd be great.
Chances are we're going to lose this, but you never know. I've just got that little feeling. You never know. There's always that little feeling with Leeds that we could pull a rabbit out of the hat.
Extra time will be played according to the very useful and very search engine optimised Crystal Palace website.
Great. Win?
Yeah, why not?
Because the pressure's off. That's why you're saying it, isn't it?
Exactly. I'm not bothered about winning too much, so we probably will.
What about you, Moscow?
I want to put Crystal Palace's website on the shit list because that's last season's FA Cup.
So whatever we said then, disregard
who even
that.
Knows? Right. What? It's February 2021 was a year ago, wasn't it?
Yep.
Let's win the FA Cup. Is that fine? Does anybody have a problem if we do that?
No problem. And that does wrap up part two of the weekly podcast. That was our West Ham preview where we talked in depth
at length about the FA Cup,
about dismantling the League Cup.
At least now you'll never forget who knocked us out of the FA Cup in 1922, will you? Curse you, Swindon Town. First Billy Painter, now this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
We'll return to the Phil Hay Show later on this week. Going to be recording that on Thursday ahead of the West Ham game. Looking forward to catching up with Phil.
Yeah, I want to see if he's as giddy as we are about beating Burnley. I think I think we've all got a bit excited by it.
Yeah, you can sign up for The Athletic with our discount. It's a 50% discount at theathletic.com/thesquareball. Phil Hay Show returns this week. You can find all Phil's writing on the website as well as we skip merrily towards mid-table. Phil will be there to guide us through it. And of course, I know he really appreciates questions about the January transfer window.
Yeah, by all means, tweet at him, ask him if there's any news. Yeah. He does know what's going on. If he tells you he doesn't, he's got a list in his wallet of every signing that's already done.
theathletic.com/thesquareball to use our discount. Heroes and villains. First, we will pick a Ken Bates villain of the week, including nominations from us and from our TSB Plus subscribers who send us their feedback after every game. And plenty of nominations kicking off with the referee, a weekly occurrence representative of the poor refereeing standards in the Premier League. Paul Tierney gets a load from Andy, Eamon, Ken, Vince, Grumpy Get, Kev, Jeff, Aidan, Rick, Jambo, Mike, John, among others. Why? How?
Well, you already spent half the other show defending him.
I didn't defend him. I just think refereeing standards...
Said he was great. So he had lovely hair.
And the refereeing standards, by and large, are
shit. Could be in a soap opera.
They've backed themselves into a corner with stupid rule changes. The PGMOL, whatever it's called, that run the refs, not helping. I think even like the implementation of VAR, where you know if they're going to go to the screen, they're going to overturn it. I want to see a ref go to the screen and then not overturn it and go, actually, I've had a look at it. No, it's fine. But it's all theatrical. It's bullshit, isn't it?
Do a wanker sign down the camera and pointing at his eyes as they like, get them. What are you looking at?
That's come all the way over it. Look at that. Rubbish. It's basically the Llorente one. And I think he was wrong on that.
Yeah, he was wrong on that.
But I don't mind refs getting it wrong. It's fine.
He does also get picked up. This is a fair
point. Even when we concede.
No, well, it happens in football, but it didn't matter, did it, ultimately? Mm. There wasn't a consequence from it.
Andy does pick him up on the fact that Hennessy takes an age with every goal kick. Fine. Melier takes a few seconds. Hurry up, hurry up. And that is true, that if you get into the last 10 minutes and you're winning a game, referees are really, really quick to pick you up on time wasting. They're like, come on. And they're making little, I'm stopping this, gestures, tapping the wrist and everything.
But it's by virtue of Burnley's time wasting that we ended up with 5 minutes of injury time, wasn't it? So it's their own bloody fault.
Well, they were doing it in the first half too. There should have been 5 minutes added on in the first half in that case. It's just that I think it takes refs by surprise when people do it from the first minute, because they're like, well, surely they're not time wasted now, like, because that'd be weird. But
are they stupid? They must know that it happens. Yes. How many times do they referee Burnley a season? And they must do it in every game. So
it is one of those, a bit like we were saying in, you know, how he wasn't allowed to be sent off because it was after 6 seconds in the Liverpool game. It's a bit like, well, I'm not going to add on time for time wasted now because we're 20 minutes in.
Did Tierney get booted off the Chelsea-Liverpool game and sent over towards, because Anthony Taylor ended up refereeing that.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what happened there.
There was some sort of shake around, wasn't there? There was a change.
I'm sure they were happy with it.
And just take it back, when you said there were no repercussions from the Llorente foul being incorrectly given, we conceded a goal, Cornet did his stupid silly dancing, somebody threw a bottle at what's his face, our reputation diminished, a Leeds fan will be getting a banning order, rightly, can't throw stuff. Those are a lot of repercussions. It's the old butterfly effect, isn't it? So
I didn't mean there were no repercussions, I meant in terms of football.
Well, you said there were no repercussions, so I'm just pointing out some of the repercussions.
And Llorente got booked as well.
I was going to say, Llorente now misses the West Ham
suspended
game, doesn't he? And not the League Cup game as well.
So we've had one game. And of course, West Ham away, Robin Koch is going to get injured. So we'll never see the best centre-half partnership since Ferdinand and Woodgate and Butler and Neil Collins, if they ever played together.
No, they didn't. No. Butler and Gregan.
Grumpy
Get Kev's post, actually, his feedback does point out that VAR is absolutely pointless. But there's nothing that VAR could have done, because it won't look at free kicks and yellow cards, will it? That's why it's used. It's toothless. It's wrongly implemented, isn't it?
And then ages. It took him ages to take that free kick as well.
But if he scores from a direct free kick like he did there, and the free kick was incorrectly given, then you would feel within your rights.
Just get the referee to make the right decision. It's
okay.
Much easier.
Speaking of that free kick, what flows from that is Cornet.
Yeah.
He's...
just for everything.
Cornet, if we're going to give him his proper francophile name.
I'll dance in front of him if I ever see him.
Somebody with no name. Ben. Somebody else, John P, Jake, Boney M, Brooksy, Spadge, John, all picking out Cornet.
This actually does bear on the referee slightly, because it's Ben points out his awful celebration that he did twice. And this goes back to the Arsenal game as well, when they went running in the same corner and the referee was like, look, there's been an incident down there already, get out. This one, obviously, Boogalugs has the bottle thrown at him and then... is staggering about and they bring people on. And then Cornet's off into the same corner again, having been told, the referee says, right, everybody out of that corner. And then he goes off there again dancing. Book the silly little sod. There's got to be some kind of, I don't know, check the rule books on what referees can actually do.
A disincentivization
to
do it.
Well, no, but just if the referee says to you, don't go and dance in that corner, and then you go and dance in that corner again, like minutes after the goal's been scored, get your yellow card out. That's dissent, isn't it? You're ignoring the referee's instructions. And there's got to be, if you're saying, get 10 yards back at this free kick and you didn't do it, you get a booking for, I don't know if it's dissent or unsportsmanlike behaviour, but, you know, you talk about refereeing and what they can and can't do. Being ignored by players is probably a problem when it comes to refereeing. So I don't know who's to blame for this. Cornet, Tierney, both of them.
Spadge does point out that if you're on a night out and you start giving it the big into a group of lads, is it surprising you may be on the receiving end of a straightener? And there is an element of that. It's a bit like
a
celebration.
You can draw sort of parallels with like internet warriors, can't you? Because you know there's no consequence to being an arsehole on the internet. You know that you're kind of protected by being on a football pitch up to a point.
Yeah,
Leeds fans decided to call the bluff on that.
I get a bottle in the face, but this shouldn't be taken as condoning bottle throwing. I keep meaning to say, you know, there will be a banning order for whoever did it, and it'll be, you know, unlucky for them, but also don't throw stuff at them and then that doesn't happen. But there seems to be a fashion for it at the moment. And I don't know if what's happening in France, you'd call necessarily a fashion for it. It's an absolute craze. But it's happening. It was the Arsenal game with loads of stuff being thrown in the corner. Not our Arsenal game, but when they played against
Man City.
So Man City went and celebrated them. Loads of stuff came flying on. And you just think with it being kind of, these things go in waves in football. It's like when everybody had inflatables because Man City had them. So there's like that became a craze for a while. And there's always trends come and go. And if the trend is when players are dancing in front of opposition fans, bottles, full bottles are being chucked in their faces, you'd maybe just have a word as players and groups said, well, we need to stop people throwing stuff onto the pitch. And we can say to the fans, don't do it. But also, how about we just don't go and goad fans for a while and see if that stops it from happening, and then maybe just calm it down for a little bit, manage this period when it seems to be, you know, every match of the day is saying, oh no, and a bottle thrown on, and oh, there's an object, and because it keeps getting picked up on, it becomes not a virtuous circle, but it's a circle. The more you see it, the more it happens, more people you see it, and it needs, you know, you can tell the fans not to do it, but you know, the fans know they're not supposed to do it. That's why they do it.
A circuit breaker.
Rafinha went over and had a word, didn't he? Perhaps in the knowledge that he'd done more or less the same thing at Chelsea, having scored a penalty, he kind of went over and went, is dancing not, do people not like the dancing? I don't know. I did.
Safe distance though, wasn't he?
Well, that's the thing.
That's it. Do it out of throwing distance. It's not a big ask. It's kind of just, and it is odd that it always seems to be that corner at Elland Road. And it does make me wonder if there is some kind of thing where, you know, players do talk to each other and roll out, go and celebrate in front of the crowd. Because our crowd is different and everybody is picking out as different. And you can see from the way Stuart Dallas's goal was celebrated in the South Stand, compare that to Old Trafford when it's the absolute bullshit. It's a totally different atmosphere. And players seem to be, from other teams, reveling in it to an extent, like Dominic Calvert-Lewin when he scored at the start of the season. And so I don't know what the message is that they all think we'll go to Welland Road. And hostile atmosphere is one thing, but as we were saying on the match ball, we weren't being hostile to Maxwell Cornet. But he'd been on the pitch 10 minutes. Mm. Nobody had noticed him until he banged that free kick in. It would be like the Madison who scored for Leicester? The same thing there. Well, that was an absolutely fantastic goal.
Harvey Barnes.
You think that's an absolutely fantastic goal. And you sort of look at that and go, that's great. And then you look at him and go, what are you doing now, you wanker? You scored a good goal. Now piss off.
I know. It's not like, to go back to the old days of like Cantona, who used to get absolute like abuse thrown at him for the full game. And if he scored, he'd kind of give a bit back, which again was maybe a bit daft for getting stuff thrown at you. But equally, it was always, you sort of have to go, well, yeah, and it'll be the same when Ronaldo scores this year after getting loads of abuse from us. You know, he will have a point of being able to do it because he'll be like, well, you've been saying whatever you've been saying. Who knows what he'll be?
Calling me a character and other things.
But with Harvey Barnes, the atmosphere would have just been, oh, bloody hell, that was a good goal. Fucking hell, Leeds, why didn't you stop that? We just scored. What the hell happened? Nobody really cares about Harvey Barnes one way or the other. Nobody cared about Maxwell Cornet one way or the other. Just go, oh, that's a good free kick, that bloody hell. Melier should have been over to his right. Why didn't Tyler Roberts block down the wall? And suddenly he's doing all this. Right, chuck stuff at you, so.
Right, let's,
you know, the bottle thrower is a villain as well. Just don't fall for it.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up then with this part of it anyway, with the bottle thrower gets mentioned. Again, Matt Loughton, who got hit by the bottle, gets nominated, probably feels irresponsible to indulge that from Adsham. Behave yourself.
No, I think the whole incident, everybody involved can just go away together.
Do you think Deitch talked it down because he throws bottles at them regularly and not plastic ones either? Big, old-fashioned, thick-bottomed.
It reminds me of, is it the film Dodgeball when,
he's chucking
wrenches and spanners at them. Yeah, maybe so. Wood and Taylor, our ex-players, playing for Burnley, both get a number of nominations. Adrian Sazzi, Philip, Finn, all picking them out.
Philip does mention that on the BBC radio commentary, Michael Brown called out Charlie Taylor for not being the brightest. So can you imagine how dumb he has to be for Brownie to say that? Which is a fair point. He does have a stupid face, does Charlie Taylor.
Sean Dyche gets picked out by a number of people. Matt, Ben, Marvin, West Ham, Ralph, J. Sam, Roger, among others. He's described by Roger, actually, as the joyless anti-Bielsa. Always croaking in the fourth official's ear.
Yeah, there's that contrast between
what does that sound like?
There's the contrast between the stuff he says after the game, for example.
Oh, that was a great atmosphere.
And then the stuff, the absolute awful behaviour you get from him during the game when he's in the fourth official's ear, like,
ref, 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 throw him, ref, it's our throw, ref.
See that bottle? He wouldn't have been calm about the bottle when it was happening. So that's one of the other things with Dyche, the hypocrisy.
Yeah, and Marvin is being slightly presumptuous by saying that Dyche ball, good riddance.
Well,
We'll have Tony Mowbray to enjoy next season.
Tony Mowbray's teams play fairly exciting football. I think it would be more interesting to watch them.
I take that back. I'm sorry. It's just we can only have so many North West clubs at a time.
Burnley as a concept also picked out for similar sort of reasons. Scrooge McHutch. Pleased to pick out the Burnley fans for increasing the allocated amount of fingers and toes in a football stadium, etc., etc.
I mean, Boney M saying sums it up quite nicely. Seriously, who the fuck time wastes in the first half of a fucking game?
Wolves?
Well, yes, Wolves do it as well.
Gary Monk did it against us as well, didn't he, with Sheffield Wednesday when it was...
slowing the game down.
When they were losing. They couldn't snap themselves out of it, I remember it, and they just kept taking ages over everything as if they couldn't stop.
Would you be sorry to see them get relegated this season if they were to get relegated?
Not really. Although I quite like it as an away ground, actually. Because it's old and shit, which is what I look for in a stadium.
And close.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I'd be happy enough for them to stay up for that. But yeah, I don't like watching them play. Although I do like watching us beat them, which we do seem to do more often than not. So that's quite good.
Yep. Graham picks out the footballing gods for denying us Bamford to punish an awful team who deserved to be on the end of a humiliating scoreline.
Obviously, his grudge with Dyche as well. We were awaiting another episode in that, but that may have to go on the back burner as well if Burnley get relegated.
Budweiser, Howlin' Rick, who sounds like a WWE wrestler, suggests that Budweiser on the Premier League app named Dallas the King of the Match. He's a Jesus bloody Christ. Man of the match, Mr. Shitlager.
Other knobheads, first Leeds for not putting any buses on.
Yeah, that was poor. That's a poor show. Was it a bank holiday?
I don't know if it was.
Sort of. There was one the next day, but they never do. Boxing Day and New Year's Day, they never do.
It wasn't New Year's Day, it was the second, though.
Yeah, but it's New Year's weekend.
I thought privatised bus things were meant to be like efficient. Surely it's...
No, they're about making profit for shareholders.
But surely...
Not about putting a bus... If they could get away with never running a bus, they'd do it.
I mean, this is easy money, though. This is like the most full a bus ever is around these days.
It involves getting people in for work and paying them double time, though, doesn't it? And stuff like that. But Tom is even aggrieved by it. And he says, I live in Canada now, so I wasn't affected by the lack of buses yesterday, but they're previous in not running. Right, fair enough.
Yeah. Well, yes, because he's telling the story New Year's Day 2014 when he was hungover making a short trip from Outwood to Leeds by train to find there were no buses, then hiked to ER where the heavens opened on the way and I discovered I had a hole in my shoe and I sat soaked and freezing through 90 minutes of shite football.
It feels like
we lost 2-1.
They've become the conduit
to then walk back
through which station. You want to express your misery. First buses then rather than all the other stuff that happened.
This is Tom's story, not my story.
No, I know. I mean, you as in Tom, not you, personally.
Okay.
What's Zach picking me out for? I had to show off about Chelsea being 2-0 down, single-handedly giving Chelsea 2. No, I don't care what happens between Chelsea and Liverpool. Let the billionaires fight out between themselves.
I actually want to nominate both of you.
Why?
Well, where's my Christmas present, you bastard? And it's you came up with the idea of a secret Santa.
I bought you a Christmas present.
And then you, but you've not brought it.
I have it here.
Oh, okay. And then you, where's our secret Santa? Right.
I'm not doing it. I've been too busy. I was too busy fucking doing all your stupid podcasts when you were sat at home with your feet up. Allegedly.
Me and Michael can exchange gifts then.
Wow. Is yours wrapped?
No.
Oh, good.
I don't have a feeling we might have got each other the same
thing. If you're on YouTube, show it to the camera for YouTube's purposes.
It's got my address on it.
That's true.
A4 rigid envelope. So you've both got like the same cardboard reinforced envelope. So is it some sort of certificate?
It's a letter. It's a historical document.
Well, I also have historical documents that I was going to share between you, but you can have them all now.
You're going to have to pretend on this that it's your name at the top of this letter.
Okay.
Because I know it's I know you've sent a similar thing. And also you're going to have to overcome the disappointment of there being no signed photograph.
Okay.
What have you got him?
Here you go. It's a letter that I found someone selling on eBay.
Dear Daniel, we'll pretend
that's,
it says.
That's what it says.
Thank you for your recent card.
You say it's on Leeds United headed notepaper, we should say, by the way.
Does have someone letterhead. Else's
yes, someone has address on it. So,
although we'll, the person is clearly an oddball.
I mean, that's not. So we'll pretend it's still me. Dear Daniel, thank you for your recent card filled with kind words of support. They are greatly appreciated. I am proud to be the manager of such a great club and hopefully get them back to where they belong in the Premiership. A letter from Bielsa. I have enclosed signed photographs for you and your dad for your collection. Kind regards. Oh, Neil Warnock. Oh, well. Well, thank you.
His own fair hand.
I am touched. I can't remember what the budget you set was. So I just went a bit mad, bearing in mind. At the time, I was buying for two.
That's why I didn't get anything. Say I was saving the company money.
I spent my own money. So
that,
I mean,
that person,
I'm not that tight.
By the way, who, if you look through their other items on eBay, they clearly pretend to be fans of a club and write to the manager in the hope of eliciting a reply and pictures.
Right.
Because they did it. They had letters from loads of different people, all basically with the same format. So they obviously just write to, you know, whoever. They'll be writing to, like,
Gary McSheffrey.
Sean Dyche now going like, oh, you're doing such a great job. If you can send me a picture of your big ginger head, that'd be lovely.
Here's, all right, so in return, there's a few of these.
Oh, I can see the writing on the back of that one. I'm excited already.
I just need you to know, by the way, that if I had got your Secret Santas, I would have spent the company money and not my own.
Okay. So here's gift one.
Gift one.
What's that?
Oh, wow.
What is it?
Hold it up for the camera.
That's Luke Varney.
Oh, wow.
And what is it, though?
It's a signed photo of him having punched someone in the face, I think, by the looks of it.
Denying everything. And then here's the next one that you've read the back of, I think.
It's Tongi. I saw his
Another
name.
Another signed photograph.
Wow, there he is. Poetry
These are all
in motion.
Signed photographs. For
Getting on the end of a Warnock, a standard Warnock
He's
pass.
His best thing.
Go on.
Then the next one I think you'll particularly appreciate.
Nigel Worthington. Look at that. What's he written on it?
He's one of your particular favourites.
Oh, best wishes, isn't it? There he is. Look at him.
Signed Glorious. It very slowly.
30, what will he be on the picture? 32, 33?
22 if he's a day. A very fine, absolute picture of health. We were speaking about him before. There you go.
Ah,
you've really gone to town here, Moscow.
Old Billy Big Tits. I was at that game. That's it's Preston away, isn't it? That where he's facing the away fans,
scoring
doing
his goal, celebrating.
I can't believe it. He'd just done the beforehand.
Here's you've had the big tits now at the other end. The big ass of
Tate,
Alan Tate,
with Johnny Woodgate. Yeah, he doesn't look in good nick there for a footballer, does he, Tate? You have to say
no.
He looks kind of.
All
thick.
I remember, he was very briefly on loan with us, wasn't he? And the size of that man's backside was phenomenal.
I remember he was considered to be a good signing for like one game. In the same way as all centre-back signings were.
And then here's the...
wow, this is a big one.
This is a big... It's an A4, more than A4-sized, glossy signed photograph.
Of Jason Brown?
Got it in one. Even wearing the Leeds kit, though, you can't imagine rare it is to find a photo of Jason Brown.
That's rare as hen's teeth.
Signed.
Rare as hen's teeth.
In a Leeds kit.
Wow. I must admit, without knowing the general theme, if it had been a picture just of his head or him in a different kit, I may have struggled to know that was Jason Brown.
Can you? I look in good shape compared to that. Do you want to put that somewhere up in the studio furniture? I feel like that's an important artifact we've got.
You can't cover up John Lukic.
Straight over John Lukic's face? One goalkeeper for another?
We'll sort it out later.
We'll do it.
We can't redecorate.
Do it when we finish.
I'll
take Bielsa down and I'll cover up John Lukic.
There we go.
So there's Christmas.
Anyway, back to heroes and villains. On the keeper's front, Hennessy is picked out, actually. Slip wasn't pleased with Hennessy for getting his hand to Dan James's header and ensuring I was sat down with my head in my hands when it belatedly bounced in. Brilliant. I love that. Surprisingly limp-wristed for somebody so fond of salutes. Yeah.
It wasn't a salute. He didn't know. He didn't know it was a salute. He was waving at the person taking the photo.
A very firm wave, wasn't it?
Mm, indeed. Children.
Yep.
Get some nominations, not for being miserable bitches, as I described the 8-year-old girl famously, but running on the pitch.
The post-match crash.
Mm.
Well, it's sort of a treasure hunt, isn't it?
That's become a thing.
Run on
it?
And see what you can get.
We laughed about it earlier in the season and went, don't be spoil sports. And now I take it all back, imprison the little criminals.
Well, Andy's laying straight into him. He said, they've just had sodding Christmas. What more do the begging little shits want?
It's awkward because on the one hand, those signs you see at everywhere, at every game, saying, can I have your shirt, kind of seem a bit annoying. But then the girl who got Luke Ayling's shirt and was filmed absolutely sobbing her eyes out, but it was the most meaningful thing.
Isn't that because she'd just been told, no, this is going on eBay?
Well, this is
what
it.
What do you mean,
that's,
Daddy?
That's not true, by
it's
the way.
It does then turn into a beautiful moment for a young person. Mm. You think how good it is and positive that you can make somebody feel that way. But I don't know, maybe they should also have to sign a contract that they have to kind of, they have to keep feeling that way about this piece of sweaty cloth until they're at least 45. If at any moment now there is even the slightest dip in emotion, the way she feels about that shirt, take it off her. Mm. It's, you wanted it.
It's like in Speed, isn't it? If the speedo goes below 50, the bus blows up. You've got to stay in a state of heightened emotion until you're in your middle age, and then you can finally stop crying over that shirt.
It did soften me to the whole, hand painted signs, please can I have your shirt thing. But I'm sure next time I see some scum little bastard at Old Trafford saying, "Oh, Ronaldo, please can I have your shirt? I promise not to test it for DNA." It'll be my heart will harden against
We've got another child grievance here from Boney M. Have you seen that one?
Mm, the kid sat next to me quoting FIFA stats about players.
You see, I've got a certain amount of sympathy for that because my lad will do it. Like, if I could see, I could throw a player name at him, he'll say, like, 84 shooting or whatever.
There was on the scum Twitter space thing, I'm sure someone on that mentioned, like, oh, we need better midfielders because ours are only like,
we need an 87 CDM.
Yeah, they were we've only got like an 84 or something. It was like,
That's how kids see the world now.
This wasn't a child, I don't know. This was
when we were growing up, we were fascinated by the stats on like Football Manager and Championship Manager.
International caps.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of that. They know the numbers. You used to know the players to go to for Football Manager and Championship Manager. But the difference is like they get to play FIFA and it looks so realistic. They're in the stadiums with the kits and all that sort of thing. And then they see these people in real life. So if it helps them to connect with the club, I'm kind of all for it.
I think we should ban children from Elland Road immediately.
Well, they're at risk of getting a ball to the face, aren't they?
Or at the very least, price them out like Bates.
They're at risk of enforced cocaine sniffing, according to that chief constable.
Come to football, get your kids a shirt and hooked on smack.
Oh, dear. Right, remaining nominations for villains. Oh, poor Tyler.
I mean, he just gets nominated all the time.
There's even an apology from Billy here saying, sorry, Moscow, Tyler, Bamford would have had a field day.
Would he? That would mean we've never seen Bamford miss an easy header ever.
Mm.
Jimmy describes him missing the header as a 50p head.
Well, at least it wasn't an open goal. And at least he doesn't play for Brazil and miss an open goal. So the point is in having a, you know, £50 million Champions League level Brazilian winger, he's just going to boot the ball in the south stand when they've got an open goal.
It's just nice when he's not shouting at you, isn't it?
And finally, Jerry is nominating Match of the Day 2 for only talking about how bad Burnley were and nothing about Leeds and no positives about us. Whatever.
I kind of feel more comfortable with that, actually, sometimes. We just don't talk about us because they'll just get it wrong.
Yeah, just leave us. Yeah, exactly. Just leave us. Yeah, again, you were saying it before about, you know, talking about Angus's programme notes. Just damned if you do, damned if you don't. Right.
Leave it to us. We'll have some sensible conversation about these things.
By weight of nominations, it should be Paul Tierney. Cornet comes in a close second, I think, in terms of numbers.
Should we send, like I suggested before, Tierney, Cornet, the bottle thrower and Loughton all villains together and they can just be condemned to recreate all of that forevermore? They wanted it so much,
It seems a bit unfair that Cornet gets the dance forever and Matt Loughton gets a bottle thrown at his head forever.
Is it unfair?
Is that unfair?
Well, he later, isn't he the one who... he kicks Daniel James in the face when he's trying to head the goal in.
I actually think the most misery has been inflicted by the buses, you know.
It seems... I mean, I drove to the game, so... I got
a bus to the game and it was probably easier than normal.
Yeah, that's your own private bus though, isn't it?
It's got one from... it's got a three times. I don't actually know what it was. I was expecting it to be absolute carnage because of them being special. But I don't know if people either didn't go or... more people drove.
That makes it even worse, Moscow, because they can put some buses on, but not the ones that people actually need.
I mean,
that
one goes from right near my house.
First Leeds, right. But anyway, I think First Leeds, I'm sorry.
First as a general bus company are.
They've angered me there.
Terrible, and they're run by bad people. So
probably.
I'm sure some of the shareholders are unpleasant to deal with.
So should we give it to them?
Yeah, go on then. Okay. What the hell? And Paul Tierney can drive the buses.
Onto the Gaetano Berardi Hero of the Week Award then now. Some nominations for... Well, let's do our players first because there are plenty. Dallas is in there with plenty of nominations from a variety of people talking about the number of appearances that he's racked up. Obviously, he scored a goal, seemed to enjoy his celebration, all-round good guy.
It's a historically significant number of appearances he's racked up. It was, I didn't realise until Johnny Cooper's stat was pointed out that he's the first player to pass 250 appearances since Lucas Radebe. So that's how long it's been since we've had somebody to just stay that long. And then I assume it is Michael has compiled the details on who he could pass if he keeps playing for the rest of the season.
Big names. Wallace.
Ray?
No, I don't think he ever amassed 250. Not quite. Maybe in the reserves. But yeah, Wallace 257, Lucas 262, Bowyer 265, 267 Sheridan, and 273 Martin. So you're talking about some genuine legends of the club in there, and he's going to probably go past them. So,
would you describe him as a genuine legend of the club?
Dallas?
I would suggest he's overseen what has been an era that's not overseen. He's been part of an era that's been going to be really fondly looked back on when we all grow another 10, 20 years older or whatever.
I guess the thing with Dallas is you'd probably look at his first 80 games or whatever and no one would remember him. But the stuff he's done post-Bielsa is certainly heading that way, I think.
And we'd see what he does over the next 250 games. I mean, he might not play that many, but I think he's still got a long way to go, hasn't he?
Well, it's James Milner's birthday today, isn't it?
Christ.
And he's 36, and I don't, you know, there's a chance, I guess, he sticks around till he's 36, in which case, you know, we might be getting into Gary Kelly figures or something, which is, you know, when you start looking at the list, it's actually, there are not many people above him now, particularly if you take out Riviera players who are all just completely dominate that, the kind of most appearances list. He's right up there now, and I think he's hopefully got a few years left in him as well, playing right back, left back, centre mid.
Well, thanks to Jimmy James, Marvin, Jeff, and Matt, Boney M, Adsham, Hillary, Sue, John and JV.
Everyone, basically.
Everyone who sent something said Stu Dallas. Forshaw, I mean, he feels like the hot favourite for this, by the way. Just nominations elsewhere for Forshaw, another one of our players. Like, who was
Alan Rick saying, getting stuck in even though his skeleton must be thinking, what the fuck is going on? I mean, it's not all originally his skeleton, is it?
Rogers named him N'Golo Forshaw, saying he's added that aggression to his usual sort of neatness and efficiency and playing his way back into England contention. There's time yet.
He has somehow come back better than he was without playing.
They've upgraded the parts.
You wouldn't think like 2 years out with an absolutely mangled hip would be the thing. Maybe everybody should do it. It's the Forshaw plan. If you're feeling a little bit ropey after Christmas and New Year, take 2 years off, have countless hip operations, and you'll be a new person when you come back.
Ken Bates stole my seat is saying that I didn't spend the whole game wishing Phillips was back, and that is down to him.
Mm. Yeah, you didn't really notice it, did you? Because we did well, which is good.
We won't miss him next season when he's gone to scum.
Well, it's mentioned by... you're talking about Phillips, not Forshaw. James actually picks out the fact they need another contract. Graham, Vince, Andy, Rob, Grumpy Git, Kev, Adrian Patrick, all nominating Forshaw. Firpo gets some nominations as well. Not quite as many, but a good, really, really good performance.
Yeah, being, as Adrian's points out, being hammered all season, but was great.
And Rick as well, what's Rick referring to here? Because I've forgotten. He says, Junior Firpo was outstanding. He also wants to nominate me, as he upset me last time.
Weren't you crying on about something last time for ages? I think it's that.
Well,
anyway.
Sucking up to me is not going to do any good, so pack it in, Rick.
Click gets nominated.
You've upset me again.
Joffy. I'd rather think about Click and Joffy.
Yeah.
Cock. Dan James.
Always ready to think about Cock.
Urente gets a single nomination for... quite well, I'm not sure.
Bless him. He was good. Although I did notice at one point Chris Wood shrugged him off as if he was taking off a silk dressing gown. He kind of just went like this. And Diego Llorente went flying about 20 feet behind him on the floor. And it wasn't like he was diving or anything. It was generally he'd thrown him. But it was such a kind of a gentle shrug. It just somehow, I don't know if he caught Mad Diego off balance or something. But yeah, it was good. So he gets a nomination for being thrown about by Chris Wood.
Can I ask a personal question, Moscow? Do you own a silk dressing gown?
No.
Oh, okay.
I imagine you have a smoking jacket.
I'm familiar with how they work, though.
I can imagine you striding around.
What's your experience?
We have a nomination for Henry VIII.
What's he got to do with dressing?
I don't actually understand the words that Mike from Tooting has sent this in. No, I don't understand the words.
I did have to look this up.
So let's read it out first. Actually, you typed on the sheet, by the way, Henry VII, I would like to point out.
Oh, yeah, that's wrong.
I corrected your basic error, not for the first time.
I don't know. No, he doesn't get talked about, does he? Much does he?
Big Ken, the seventh. Big Harry.
Mm. But yeah, he's been nominated for being the last person to take a stand against consanguinity.
Consanguinity.
I don't know how you pronounce it.
What does it mean?
It's basically marrying relatives.
Oh, interbreeding.
Yeah, it's interbreeding. Oh, I see, another
Burnley.
There's a song about it and the Gary Neville's.
Flowing from that, Interpol picked out. Jeff P says, Interpol for their sterling work in retrieving Jack Harrison's dog from Sinister Betting Syndicate.
He did his roundup of the year on Instagram. There was a photo of him with the dog, and I don't think he'd put that there if the dog wasn't home. So
right, good.
That's good. I think we're all very relieved.
What else have we got then? We have Mike Dean for being anonymous. Kevin was pleased with that, yeah? To go back to what you were saying there, Moscow.
Less anonymous, COVID gets some nominations from Cop Coops, Lean the Cheese, TJ, just essentially for giving us a bit of a rest, which was... It was quite handy.
Although, I mean, you can't really get angry at Newcastle either, can you, for what they did by, you know, when like Saint-Maximin got injured and Callum Wilson, and they just immediately applied for cancellation of their game against Southampton.
We need to stay out of trouble until we get Kieran Trippier in.
Not having it, are you?
There were a couple of nominations for from Jimmo and West Ham Ralph for whoever played I Predict to Riot at the end.
Didn't like it.
I didn't like
Too
it.
Too loud.
I prefer being able to sing at the players.
Yeah.
I have to say, in that situation,
you leave.
I don't anymore because I used to when I used to have to get back to the low fields really quickly because of where I parked my car.
But if ever you were giving me a lift, you would always have like strict instructions that I would like to stay at the end of the game. But it was like, I'm not hanging around for you because I leave like 4 minutes before the end, so you need to be out and ready. And now you are like, oh no, I want to sing around and sing for my favorite players. Can't be playing.
But that's because we used to record at Radio Air and we had to get out quickly.
And if you don't get out quickly, from the low fields where I had to park because the magazines were
in there. So there were years and years and years when you had absolutely no idea. They could have, after every game, they could have spent 20 minutes playing Michael Normanton's over the PA. And you missed it all. But now, because you're all just like, ooh, I want to see if Luke Ayling will give me a shirt. You don't want to hear any music. Blot you out singing, Luke.
That's put you back in your box, hasn't
it?
I'm not sure how I feel about it. It was a bit too loud.
We should not have given you those lifts now. Should have walked to Radio Air. Made you grateful bastard.
And it's a right old way.
I think still before the end anyway, I used to get to the exit as full-time whistle went and then just leg it as quickly as I could to
get in.
It's
not this fantasy world in which you're staying behind to sing the song, the names of all your favourite players.
I am quite small. If I got a wig, I could pass myself off as a child and run on the pitch.
Right. We want to nominate whoever relegates Burnley TV as well. Jake suggests that Burnley's version of LUTV had an interviewer doing Deitch's post-match that sounded exactly like him. I've seen the clips of this, actually, but it sounded like you doing your impression, asking the questions.
What did you think of that, John?
Et cetera, whatever it is that you do.
Yeah, that's the one. Something like that.
The box
logo. There was one less little...
No.
Go on, one more.
Why?
Because I want you to.
Why the fuck should I?
Because it's what people want from this, not us talking about this. Anyway, the box logo, I mentioned that earlier on, actually. Pleased with that. Yeah, I like the
much
little
better.
Tweak.
Much more inclined towards a box tea boiler now.
Mm. Yeah, get rid of the black, the blue patch, and then...
I'm going to buy 10 of them.
Don't really need the outline. Just put the word boxed on your sleeve. You could probably see...
The outline gives it a little definition.
But you'd be able to see, from their point of view, I'm trying to help them. Like you can see the word a bit better, can't you, if it's just the letters rather than that silly outline.
Because you dissociate the outline with the overall logo when you're looking at it.
You think you're forgetting when our square ball logo used to look quite a lot like that, Dan. That had a big load of space.
That's because I didn't know what to do with it and I was designing it and I've got no design sensibilities and I nicked it off the B&Q logo.
You actually ended up with almost the identical logo of, there was an art museum in Bern in Switzerland that was practically just the same. I remember looking at it at the time. I'm sure we looked at it.
Cool story, bro.
But I'm actually bigging up your the Kunstmuseum Bern.
Pardon?
We looked at it at the time. Look at that. This is on.
Yeah.
So that one, even blue and white. So I was quite bemused
better than the B&Q one.
You just happened to land up on the exact same design as an art museum.
But that was what I was thinking.
The notorious Gurlitt Trove of Nazi tainted arts makes its first appearance at the.
Let's get off the Nazis. Wayne Hennessy gets a nomination, by the way, for the way that he watched Dallas's goal go past him.
Yeah, that was much better. I think that's what inspired him to interfere with Dan James. Is he was like, I've got to try and get a hand on something today.
Through a crowd, wasn't it, in fairness to Hennessy, that Dallas one? He just sort of...
Still, I mean, Melier's, the one he conceded, was around the wall. He saw less of that.
It was oddly sort of limp from Melier, was that? He just sort of, he didn't really jump at it. He sort of went, I can't reach.
In a way
that I don't particularly associate that sort of thing with him.
Our photographer, Lee Brown, who was behind that goal, has a photograph of Llorente trying to line the wall up, And, you know, obviously it's a split second moment, so you can't read too much into it. But he's kind of looking at back at Meslier going, huh?
You could tell they weren't quite happy with it.
Yeah, but it was an awkward place because it's absolutely central.
Mm.
So you didn't really know, and obviously somebody else could have put it around the other side. So it's quite a difficult place to line up. And I think it's one of the moments when you remember that Meslier is 21.
Right.
Yeah, and the number of times he's bailed us out and made brilliant saves. Yeah.
I don't think we'd it wasn't like a ridiculous shot to let in or anything. It was a very good free kick. But I suppose I would normally expect him to save that because he's dead good.
Anyway.
Tyler Roberts' head had just been like
Pick a hero, come on.
I mean, yeah, the weight of nominations and the weight of games that he's played and the sheer impact on the club, the moments he's had, the near legendary status that he'll go on to have, then Jordan Bataka is it? Oh no, sorry, I was thinking of something else. It's Dallas.
Yeah, well done, Stuart Dallas, then, our Gitana Berardi Hero of the Week. Wraps up the show for this week. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back with, let's have a think,
West Ham.
West Ham. Yeah, Phil Hay show before that, haven't we, as well?
Mm. Not on the square ball, no. You're thinking of a completely different media company that isn't currently offering the first month free if you subscribe to their membership, TSP Plus.
On which note, we'll bid you farewell.
Squareball.net, not the whatever.com.
We'll see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.